Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
It's actually Sunday night because, Sunday in church, we had a great Sunday and great worship. I had a great conversation with a couple of our young people. As you know, we've been talking all month about servant leadership, and we closed out the conversation focusing on youth and young people. And I had three young people, and we had a great conversation. Then when we went to get the audio, there was a glitch with the audio, and the entire conversation from this morning was gone. That happens from time to time. So rather than, you know, just let it go and say, oh, there was no audio from Sunday, my son Mike and I decided to sit down on Sunday night, maybe try to recap what we talked about on Sunday morning, and maybe even talk about some things that we didn't mention this morning. But we did have a good conversation, and I didn't want that to go to waste because we had some good things to talk about. So, good evening, Micah. How are you?
I'm good.
Earlier today, Micah joked. He said, Dad, you're going to have to make sure church is done right by noon so that we can watch the Chiefs game. And I held up my end of the bargain, but your Chiefs didn't quite make it, Micah. I'm sorry about that. So, my heart is broken for you. You're a little down about that. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so servant leadership. It's a topic we've talked about all month in church. We began talking with Sue, and then Tim with prayer, and then with Renee and ministry to kids, and then Kaylee. Kaylee last week said she was really, really nervous, but she did an incredible job, and we're grateful for what she shared. And this morning, as I mentioned, I talked with a couple of our young people. Micah was one of them, and Sammy and Mako were the other two. Scarlett was going to join us. She is our youth ministry apprentice, but she and her family are sick. All of them are sick. They're not feeling well, so we didn't get to chat with Scarlett this morning. But we had a great conversation. Micah, as we try to maybe recap what we talked about this morning, anything come to your mind as you're thinking about the conversation and what was said and what we talked about? Is there anything that came to your mind just right off the bat?
The talk we had about inviting people to church.
And what about that? What stuck out to you?
The different ways we talked about how we could do it and ways to do it while being inviting and not, you know, discouraging people to come while inviting them.
Yeah, that's good. I began the day, and I read this verse from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. This is an Apostle Paul talking with a young Timothy that he is mentoring and teaching to be a servant leader. And Paul says these words to a young Timothy. He says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Micah, that's a pretty tall order. What do you think of Paul's words here to a young Timothy as he's trying to teach him to be a servant leader?
Very important guidance for us. It is, you know, a tall order, but he wouldn't have said it if it was not possible.
That is true. Let's break that down a little bit. Paul says to Timothy, set an example for the believers, that's the church, in speech. I listen to how some adults talk, and frankly, it's quite embarrassing. It's polarizing. And Paul is saying to young people, you can set the example. You can set the tone for speech. Of course, nothing is more important than the proclamation of the gospel. But set an example in how you talk and how you communicate. Set an example in your conduct, in just how you live your life. Set an example for the believers in love. Love for God, love for others, love for humanity. Set an example in faith. I think many times adults can look at the faith and passion of young people, and that can fire them up to live for God. And set an example in purity. And so, you know, that's one of the things we stressed this morning, is young people can be servant leaders and examples for believers. And that's why we believe so strongly in ministry to youth and reaching out to young people. As I'm trying to think back to what we talked about this morning, one of the questions I asked the three of you guys was, what's it like being a young person today? What are some of the things you guys deal with and wrestle with? What would you like adults to know about what it's like being a kid, a young person, in the year 2022?
Our world today is more digitized than it ever was before. You know, you go to school and 95% of the schoolwork is online, and, you know, you do a lot of research online for school. But with that also brings access to social media and to, you know, other platforms like that that can really have a big influence on a person. And it also brings access to, you know, things we shouldn't be getting into. And it's hard as a young person to discern what you should allow to influence you and what you should block out. And it's hard to, you know, sometimes, you know, think about what you should be looking at and what you shouldn't be looking at, you know.
Yeah, and one of the things Sammy talked about was just the anxiety that young people are dealing with today. And I think that's something that we as adults need to be reminded of, that even though technology in many ways has simplified life, it has also caused a great deal of anxiety, to the point where, you know, schools are now offering mental health days, which I think is a good idea. I mean, young people are just so overwhelmed and overloaded with all kinds of stimuli coming from all different kinds of directions. The pressure is coming from all sides. And so, you know, anxiety is a very real issue that young people have to deal with. Any thoughts on that?
It is a big issue for the majority of teenagers. One of the harder things about it is being able to open up and talk about it, because I know for a lot of kids it's hard to be honest about that kind of stuff. And also, there are a lot of resources for kids to use today. I know schools have counselors. There's programs around like that. And so, you know, also being able to help kids when they need it, when they are struggling with that, is another big part of just being a youth in the community today.
So one of the things I asked the three of you was, all three of you basically grew up in our church. It's really the only church you guys have ever known. And from a very young age, your parents and Sammy Mako's parents have really pushed you guys to serve in the church. And I mean, I can spend an hour listing all the different ways that you guys have served in the church. Sometimes reluctantly, you know, sometimes you'd rather be playing video games or watching TV or hanging out with your friends, and I get that. But we have really pushed you guys to serve in the church. I know Sammy mows the lawn. Mako does a ton of things around the church. You do a lot of things around the church. Why have we pushed you guys from a very young age to be actively involved in serving the church as servant leaders? Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's to give us a spirit of leadership, to teach us to have that spirit of leadership, so that as we grow older, it becomes less of a chore and more of a want for us, and that as we get older and move on with our lives, when you guys aren't there to push us to do that stuff, that we, you know, go out and do it on our own, and you know, we offer ourselves in that way.
One of the points that Mako made, which I thought was an amazing point, was that it developed in her a work ethic that she may not have ever developed and has carried over to her current job right now. And she is really one of two people at her current job that is dependable and reliable. Her managers know that they can count on her. And she really credits that to the work ethic that her parents really instilled in her by serving in the church. And when she was talking about that this morning, it was amazing to me. And she's absolutely right. That's just an incredible byproduct of developing a lifestyle of serving in the church. I think the other reason why we really pushed for you guys and continue to push for you to serve in the church is that, you know, sometimes people have this misconception that serving in the church is just glamorous, you know? You know, you get to be on the platform and maybe you're playing the guitar like Mako plays the guitar, or you get to preach or whatever, and it's just glamorous. And the reality is, serving the church, serving the Lord, serving the church, serving others is not really that glamorous. It's not, and the word I used this morning was, it's not sexy, you know? It's hard. Sometimes you just don't want to do it, and sometimes there are things that you don't want to do. But we do it because we know we're serving God, we're serving the church, we're serving God's people, we're serving the community, we're serving a higher purpose. And at the end of the day, yeah, we're tired and maybe frustrated, but we're filled with an optimism and a joy, knowing that what we're doing is making an eternal difference. And so that's another reason why we really pushed you guys and continue to push you guys to serve in the church, because it's important. Any more thoughts on that?
Just to go along with that is, in the Bible, Paul says to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, to, be a servant to God. And that is, you know, the true worship is to be a living sacrifice.
One of the things we didn't talk about this morning is, Micah, you think you have some kind of call to ministry, and I can see that in you. I know you love the Lord. I know you love God's word. So we didn't talk about that this morning, but talk to me now about that. What do you think God is saying to you, and maybe how you want to make a vocation, a calling out of serving the Lord?
I felt the calling in the ministry when I was little, probably around the age of 5 or 6. I've always kind of wanted to go out and, you know, tell people about God and whatnot. And, I just feel a sense of need for me to do that, and a pulling in my heart to go do that. And, I don't know what the future has in store for me. I don't know what God's plan is for me. But, you know, a lot of it is just walking by faith.
Well, and I definitely see God doing something in your heart. You know, God doesn't call everyone into full-time vocational ministry. But I sense that He has gifted you and called you and nurturing you. So I'm excited to see how God is going to use you. One of the things that Tim mentioned about how God is using Mako at work, because one of the things I pray for you guys and for all the young people in our church is that God does use you, that people see in you guys something different than, you know, everybody else. And one of the things that Tim mentioned was that at work, people tend to just go to Mako and unload and share and talk to her because they know she will listen. She will not judge them. She will not condemn them. But she's a listening ear. And that really touched my heart as well, too, because a lot of young people, a lot of your peers, need a trusted person that they can go to. And when they see that you care and that you listen, that can also then open doors for you to share the gospel and to offer hope or to say a prayer or however God directs that conversation. How do you think God is using you, Micah, and Sammy at school and Mako at work and some of the other young people? How can God use you guys as servant leaders in ways that is making a difference in the lives of other people?
A lot of it is helping other people, and not just by inviting them to church or to tell them about God, but to also just be a friend to them, to show them that you love them by listening to them when they need to vent, or by lending them a helping hand when they need help. It's about being a friend to others, and by that they will feel drawn to you and drawn to the spirit inside of you, which will lead them to come to church and to God.
One of the references I referenced this morning was the song that we sing every so often in church called Make Me a Servant. And I want to read the lyrics to this song. It's an old song, but it is an amazing song, because if we want to be servant leaders, following in the example of Christ, who laid down his very life for us, this ought to be our prayer. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today. And I talked briefly about how Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. Of all people, Jesus should have been the one to be served. Instead, he gave up everything. He gave up his position, his power. He emptied himself, came to earth, and the night before he was crucified, the night before he laid down his life as the ultimate act of service for humanity, he got down on his hands and knees and with a towel and a basin washed his disciples' feet. And that is the example of our Lord. That is not the example of our culture that says, meet my needs, serve me, wait on me. But Jesus flipped that on its head and said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. He would be a little bit like, the governor coming to us and saying, guys, I'm going to come visit you guys, but I'm going to wash your feet. And we'd be like, what? That's weird. Nobody does that. Well, Jesus did that. And we are to humbly serve others. Any thoughts, Micah, about Jesus modeling servant leadership for his followers?
First of all, I think it was just him being an example for them, but also to be an example of how we should live our lives as servants, to model for us the love and the sacrifice we should be showing to others. One of the points Sammy brought up was that he did it to also prove to them that, he's not better than them. We're not better than each other. We're not higher than you. We're all the same. We're not perfect. And, also to model how to get rid of the me, myself, and I attitude and to put others before yourself.
Thank you for bringing that up, that what Sammy brought. Yeah, Sammy is the one that mentioned that in the example of Jesus, he showed that he was not better than anyone. And that is such a message and a model that is needed today. So on Wednesday nights, we're also talking about servant leadership, spiritual leadership. We're going through the book Spiritual Leadership by J. Oswald Sanders. And this last Wednesday night, we talked a little bit about the chart on page 32, which I really like, and I just want to briefly mention it here. The natural leader is self-confident. The spiritual leader is confident in God. The natural leader knows people. The spiritual leader knows God. The natural leader makes their own decisions. The spiritual leader seeks God's will. The natural leader is ambitious. The spiritual leader is humble. The natural leader creates methods. The spiritual leader follows God's example. The natural leader enjoys command. The spiritual leader delights in obedience to God. The natural leader seeks personal reward. The spiritual leader loves God and others. The natural leader is independent, and the spiritual leader depends on God. Any thoughts on this chart, Micah?
I think the point he was trying to make was that, you know, a spiritual leader is not relying on himself or his own knowledge, but is instead, you know, asking God for direction, asking for God what he wants him to do and how to do it and when to do it. You know, overall looking for God's will and how God wants us to be leaders for others.
Very cool. A couple months ago, I gave you a copy of The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I thought maybe you would just throw it on your bookshelf and not ever get to it. But to my surprise, one day, you come up to me and you go, "Dad, I started reading The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and this is pretty cool." I'm very proud of you for reading through that book. I know many adults that have never read the book. Obviously, he talks quite a bit about being a servant and the cost of being a servant leader. What sticks out to you as you're reading Dietrich Bonhoeffer's The Cost of Discipleship?
The thing that stuck out to me the most was the point he makes of getting rid of sin the right way before you can be a disciple. And what he means by that is we can't just, you know, expect to be forgiven without changing our lives just because, you know, Jesus died on the cross for us. We need to repent of our sins fully and completely and change our way of life so that, you know, we can be forgiven and accept the gift of Jesus' sacrifice.
Yeah, let me just read a portion here of Bonhoeffer's Cost of Discipleship. This is from chapter 1. "Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession, absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate." And he just goes on and on. I think way too many people today want grace that is freely given to any and all who would receive it, but they want cheap grace without the cost of really, truly following Jesus. Hey, to kind of wrap things up, I wrote a blog last night. I'm not sure how many people read it, but I do want to read it to you to kind of summarize my thoughts on servant spiritual leadership as we've been talking about it in the month of January, and we'll continue to talk about it. Let me just read it to you. "I've been in the church my entire life, and I've watched leaders come and go. I am a student of Christian servant leadership, not only from book learning, but also carefully observing those who model authentic spiritual leadership after the example of Christ. I've come to a couple of conclusions. First, true spiritual leadership in the evangelical church today is at an all-time low, but most leaders in the American church today do not see it because they are enamored with corporate leadership principles which are mostly incompatible with a life of genuine spirituality. It's like trying to hammer a square peg in a cross-shaped form. It can be done, but in the process, you destroy the cruciform contours. Second, there are many essential qualities of servant spiritual leadership following the example of Christ, but I've narrowed it down to the one indispensable trait that a Christ-following servant leader will exhibit. I saw it quite clearly in Dr. Carl Clendenin, who was born in 1921 and passed away in 2013, the first time I met him. I saw this one indispensable trait distinctly in Tommy Barnett of the Assemblies of God the first time I met him, and it had absolutely nothing to do with the size and scope of his ministry. It never does. I've had a handful of college and seminary professors exhibit this one indispensable trait. My own father had this one indispensable trait, and I've been fortunate and blessed to know other extraordinary lay people who have lived out this one indispensable trait. I'm not going to share publicly what this one indispensable trait necessary for true Christ-like servant spiritual leadership is, because it can be and is so easily counterfeited and manipulated. It is a behavior that most people could not identify as essential for Christ-like servant leadership, do not care about, do not believe it to be necessary, or believe they have it already mastered. It is an attribute that too many Christian leaders try to pass off as a quality they possess, when in reality it is just a facade. The truth is, all of us striving to follow in the example of Christ struggle with this facade, but it is the rare few that actually break through and live it out with credibility and authenticity. I'm not there yet with this one indispensable trait, and the vast majority of us are not yet there either. But by the grace of God, He will help me. Hit me up for a cup of coffee, and I'd love to talk to you more about this. It's probably been about 24 hours since I've posted it. I've already had several people say, hey, I want to have coffee with you, and I want to talk about this, or, give me a call. And I think it's one of those things where you just have to have a one-on-one conversation with, because it's such an important issue. But Micah, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of Sammy and Mako and Scarlett and the other young people in our church, who I truly believe, as the Apostle Paul said, as you guys continue to open your hearts to God, to be filled with His Spirit, continue to serve Him, can be and will be and are an example to everybody on how to live a life that's pleasing to God. Any final words, Micah?
As a teenager these days, it can be hard to be publicly open about your faith. And I just want to say to never be afraid to announce your faith, because first of all, you're never alone. There's always someone else out there who, shares the same faith. And you sharing your faith publicly can give someone else the courage to do it. And and they'll show up publicly, and, you create a little wave that will, further the kingdom.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God, because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.